He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager, Bill Gunderson of Southport Capital, professional money manager for the last 21 years, writer of the Best Stocks Now newsletter for the last 21 years, and behind the mic for that same amount of time. Well, it looks like the second half of 2021, well, it's now underway, and that's all I can say is the first day of 2021 trading. It was the reflation trade with the tech stocks trailing, and it looks like we're going to end this holiday weekend coming up with a kind of a dull market with a lot of questions to ask ourselves about the second half of 2021, okay? Will there be inflation, or will inflation cool off? Will companies be able to find enough workers to meet the demand? Will they be able to get the supplies? And will the supply chain be filled once again? The shortage is in a lot of places right now. Will the economy continue to grow? Will we continue to create jobs? We do have the jobs report to talk about today. What will the Fed do in the second half? Will they start to taper? Which sectors of the market will shine in the second half of 2021 after a very, very wicked rotation out of one area of the market and into another back in March of this year? What will the employment numbers bring? Will we continue to create jobs? What ETFs? Where will the best ETFs be? And will the market continue to hit new highs in the second half of 2021? That and more in today's Best Stocks Now show. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson of Southport Capital. I recently merged my firm, Gunderson Capital, with a nationwide firm in Southport Capital. We've got a lot more resources behind me, a lot more firepower, a lot more boots on the ground. We'll be hitting the road here again. We hit Sarasota a couple weeks ago, looking at Minneapolis next. And then who knows where we go from there. But I love to travel around this great nation of ours. We'll be celebrating our birthday of this great nation this weekend. And looking forward to that. In the meantime, we've got a lot of questions to ask about this coming second half of 2021. We'll take a look back at the first half of 2021. I think you could say that the first half was all over the place. It was a very difficult market to navigate. We had a lot of cross currents with inflation, rising interest rates, and then interest rates started to fall. The rising interest rates in February took out the tech and the high-growth stocks for a period of time. You saw a 30-35% correction in some of those high flyers that led the market last year. And let's not forget that last year was quite a year. You know, we made quite a call here at Gunderson Capital. I write for Seeking Alpha. Almost every week you'll see an article by Bill Gunderson out there on Seeking Alpha, which is one of the, if not the biggest website these days for financial and stock market news. And there's an independent ranking firm called TipRanks that ranks all of the writers and bloggers and money managers that write for Seeking Alpha. And we have been ranked in that top 5, 4, 3%. On a regular basis. So 95 people behind us and only four in front of us, and we've always got our eyes on that top mark. So you might want to listen to what I have to say here. We made a big call last March at the height of COVID, at the height of depression, at the height of people worried about the markets that it's time to go all in. And, of course, we've had one of the best 12-month period of times in the market in history. So, hey, I'll take some credit for that call I made. I really stuck my neck out on the line there. And I've been making macro calls in the market ever since I've been a professional money manager for the last 21 years. I started out in the business and spent some years as an analyst writing up research reports. I've been a can-slim momentum aficionado. I've also been a very astute student of value investing. And let's not forget that those two styles of investing kind of rotate a little bit. We went from a very high-growth market in March of this year to a value market. So I feel very blessed to have had experience in both of those disciplines over the years. And in the portfolios that I manage, I personally manage, along with my team, several portfolios ranging from very, very, very conservative to very, very, very aggressive and everything in between. But I like the fact that I'm an unconstrained money manager. Number one, I don't have to be a growth investor all of the time. I can be a value investor. And there is a big difference between those two disciplines. I don't have to be fully invested at all times, like many of the ETFs and mutual funds and other money managers have to be. I am unconstrained, and if I see a recession out there coming on, or the market, the earnings of the S&P 500 starting to look like they're going to start pointing downwards after 13 years of expansion, other than the COVID year, you know, I don't like owning stocks in a recession or in a bear market or in a declining earnings environment. I'm unconstrained. And as it relates to asset allocation, I'm not a big fan of basing that on age alone, because there's a lot of other factors like the Fed, interest rates, the economy, valuations that should impact your current asset allocation. And I'll be talking today about my current macro outlook on the market. I also believe in some market timing. Now, I went all in March of 2009, and earnings have been growing in the S&P 500 for the last 12 years. And in my book, as a professional money manager for 21 years and a former analyst on Wall Street, earnings are the very best indicator, not just past earnings, but future expectations. The market, if you don't learn anything else from the Best Stocks Now show with Bill Gunderson, the market and stocks trade on earnings expectations. If you don't believe me, just watch what happens to a stock when the earnings expectations are revised higher by either the company or by the analyst. The stock moves immediately. It reacts immediately. The indexes do the same thing. And I closely watch those S&P 500 earnings estimates, which now go clear out to 2024. And I do my own estimates as the very best indicator for your macro call on the market. You know, most people, they don't know why the market goes down, you know, like it did in 08 and 09 or back in 2000. I've been the veteran of two very severe bear markets. That's where I, you know, learned that a little market timing from time to time comes in handy, because you've also got to preserve capital when those big spills come along. And there's usually indications along the way before those big spills come along. What are those indications? Well, I also write a newsletter every week that I've written for the last 21 years. It's my personal internal research as a money manager. Professional money manager, managing a lot of money for folks all across America. I'm a money manager for, I suppose, the common guy. You know, I don't have a $10 million minimum. I've been on the radio for the last 21 years. So I have people from all walks of life as clients. But I produce my newsletter not only for myself, for my internal research, but for my clients as a courtesy to them so they know where I stand at all times in the market. I have a lot of do-it-yourselfers that follow me. I have 56,000 followers on StockTwits and some 15 or 16,000 followers on Seeking Alpha and thousands of people that get my newsletter every week, which I am in the midst of polishing off for this holiday weekend. Now, I offer out 2 free weeks of my newsletter so you can see the results that we've achieved, the stocks that we own, the portfolios that we manage, and what we see for the market going forward. Get 2 free weeks by going to my website, GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com, or by calling us at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second half, or the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. Well, one of the big questions we have to answer in the second half of 2021, you know, this past week we saw the S&P 500 break out again to a new all-time high. The all-time high now is at, what, on the S&P we're at 4,300, something like that, right in that area, almost 4,300. We're 4,281 was the all-time high. And we're hitting a new one here at the end of this week. Will the market continue to hit new all-time highs? The NASDAQ also hit a new all-time high. That's another question. You know, the NASDAQ was leading the market through the first few months of this year, and then we saw a sudden shift as interest rates started to rise. You saw the high multiple, high PE stocks contract along with rising interest rates. That's what rising interest rates will do to the market, make those multiples contract. And we saw a big rotation, a vicious rotation, one like we haven't seen for quite some time, out of growth and into value. Which value has not been in favor for quite some time. There is a big difference between growth stocks and value stocks. You know, growth stocks generally are growing by 10, 15% or more, even up to 100% per year or more. But they're also usually pricier when you look at forward PE ratios, price to sales ratios, things like that, PEG ratios. Ratios that we look at as professional money managers, but they're also ratios that you should look at as individual investors. I also invented along the way of my career, maybe 10 years ago, I invented an app called thebeststocksnowapp.com, thebeststocksnowapp.com, where I do my own ranking of almost 6,000 different ETFs, mutual funds, and individual stocks. And as it relates to the individual stocks, you can look up my valuations. I, you know, as an analyst, one of my jobs was to put valuations, future valuation price targets on companies and on the market. And you can find my price targets on most of the stocks that are in the database. And I also take into account not only valuation, but momentum and performance. You know, if a stock, a company has been clobbering the S&P for a number of years, and in recent years, it gets a performance grade. And I rank all 6,000 equities in my database on a relative basis. And I look for the companies that have relative performance or relative strength that is better than the rest. And if we can toss in some good valuation with that and a healthy stock chart, which I also use in my methodology as a money manager, Well, we've really narrowed down the market to what I call the best of the best, okay? That's why I call my show the Best Stocks Now Show. That's why I call my newsletter the Best Stocks Now Newsletter. It also includes ETFs and bonds in there. I run a bond portfolio with one of our other members of the staff here at Southport Capital. And you can, again, see those portfolios that we run and how they are doing. And what we're invested in right now, we offer 2 free weeks of the newsletter by going to GundersonCapital.com. It goes out to thousands and thousands of people, really all over the world, every Saturday. So tomorrow I'll be sending that thing out. And if you're a do-it-yourselfer, I also have a live trading service where every time I make a trade in my portfolios, and I run 5-6 portfolios, so we're pretty busy here during the week, you get a notification that we're buying or selling or whatever the case may be. That's also outlined in the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. But I also make the database, BestStocksNowApp.com, available to the general public. You know, I give you like 500 or 600 stocks for free just to look at in the app. And if you want access to all 6,000, which, you know, I'm updating that thing every single day. The target prices, the relative strength changes on a daily basis. We rank the sectors of the market, all 66 of them. We rank the asset classes from, stocks to cryptocurrencies to precious metals to bonds. What are the best asset classes to be in? But most importantly, what are the best securities to be in now? That's really the focus of the Best Stocks Now app. And you can find that at BestStocksNowApp.com. Now, whether or not the market continues to hit new highs, which it has been this past week, it depends on those earnings continuing to go up. Not only earnings, but earnings expectations. Now, if you go back to 2007, oh, I know that's a long time ago, 14 years ago, but you know what? That was the precursor to the big financial crisis and the sell-off in the S&P of 53%. Well, earnings started to point downwards in 2007, earnings expectations, and then in 2008 they actually dropped from the previous year, and that was the first break in earnings growth for quite some time, and that was the precursor to the bear market of 08 and 09, and I don't think it will be any different this time. Earnings have been growing since 2009 for the S&P. Earnings bottomed out at $53 per share in 2009. We're expecting $225 per share in earnings next year. That will be a record. So earnings have gone from $53 to $225. Now, test my hypothesis. Do indexes and markets follow earnings? Well, earnings have quadrupled since 2009. What has the market done? The markets and indexes follow earnings. And not only do they follow earnings, they follow earnings expectation. Make the market simple. Keep it simple. You know what? Earnings is the mother's milk of the market. In the real estate market, it's location, location, location. In the stock market, it's earnings, earnings, earnings. Why do you think companies with fast-growing earnings like a Tesla or a Zoom Video or a Peloton or whatever the case may be, fast-growing sales also, why do they outperform companies with very sluggish growth, the IBMs, the AT&Ts, you know, the Walmarts of the world, which can't grow at double-digit rates anymore? They have mathematical problems. They're growing at single digits. So as money managers looking for superior best stocks now, we look for superior growth companies, and I look for reasonable valuations and strong momentum. And that's the combination of factors that I combine in my Best Stocks Now app. The bottom line is this: if the markets are going to continue to hit new highs, it's all about earnings. And every week in my newsletter, I publish my macro outlook of where I think earnings and the market are headed It's updated every single week. You can get 2 weeks free at GundersonCapital.com. GundersonCapital.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now show, which is heard in many cities across America. I also am doing the show during the week, weekdays. I do it live every morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, but I podcast. I upload that show to my website every day. And it's on all the popular podcast sites. You can either look it up under Bill Gunderson or Gunderson Cap or Best Stocks Now Show, rather. Best Stocks Now Show. And it's archived on my website at GundersonCapital.com every single day. I have people all over the world that listen to my show live. I spend the first 3 or 4 hours of my day, okay, this is prior to 10 a.m., doing my research as a professional money manager. You know, there's a lot that plays into the market on a daily basis. What happens in Belarus affects fertilizer prices and the fertilizer stocks in America. You know, what happens in the Middle East impacts the oil stocks and oil prices in the oil sector. What happens in China affects the technology stock. So I'm all over it every single morning for 3 or 4 hours looking at macro events, micro events, upgrades in individual stocks. And I'm always searching, always, always searching, like a fishing guide who's on the water every single day. You know, somebody who's in the water every single day has a big advantage over the weekend warrior, you know, just like the golfer that has the time to spend on his golf game, his or her golf game, a lot, has got a big advantage over the weekend warrior. Well, I'm in the market every single day, and not only am I trying to do my best to make, you know, to do well for the clients who I've been tasked, you know, to manage their money, which I take very, very seriously, but I also have a lot of do-it-yourselfers that follow me and use my tools, the beststocksnowapp.com and my weekly newsletter at GundersonCapital.com to follow me. And hopefully I've made some money for the do-it-yourselfers out there. Well, the first half of the year obviously is in the books, and, you know, it doesn't really matter. We're looking now. It's all about what you do for me next. There was a massive change in the market in the first half of this year, and I think you can owe it to the vaccines. You know, the economy started to open back up once again. Things got a little hot there. Labor shortages, equipment shortages, ingredient shortages. We saw inflation. We saw a huge spike in interest rates. We saw the Fed get a little worried. And we saw a sell-off in the high P.E. work-from-home stocks. And, you know, that should be expected. People are going back to work, which created a big spike in oil prices. The oil and gas sector was, I think, the best-performing sector in the first half of this year. No, it wasn't the work-from-home stocks. It wasn't the technology stocks. In fact, surprisingly enough, the Dow and the NASDAQ, which are pretty different from each other, the NASDAQ is a good representative of the growth sector, and the Dow is a pretty good representative more of the value, or we, in this case, we'll call it reflation. Reflation are stocks that benefit from, you know, all of this stimulus that's been put into the economy. The Dow and NASDAQ ended the first half of this year basically neck and neck, dead even with each other. This is the first time in a long time that the NASDAQ has not swamped the returns of the Dow. We also had another change in the first half of this year where the small caps were favored over the mega cap stocks. The mega cap stocks, you know, the FANG, the so-called FANG stocks, which these days is Facebook, Amazon, Apple, Netflix. I include NVIDIA. I include Microsoft and Google. Now you've got, Facebook hitting $1 trillion for the first time and other FANG stocks $1 trillion. But guess what? The little small caps, the little train that could, they were up 24% for the first half of the year, while the S&P and the large caps did about half that. So I think that the small caps are going to continue to do well. There's a little bit better valuation there than in the large cap giants. But I think you got to have a mix of both. And as it relates to, will it be the value stocks or the growth stocks to be the place? Will they be the place to be in the second half of the year? Once again, I think you have to have a little bit of both. I don't think you want to have all growth NASDAQ-oriented stocks in an environment where interest rates could start to ratchet up. I've observed that those tech stocks are very, very much sensitive, hypersensitive to interest rates. And while we begin the second half of the year with interest rates at 1.45, right around in there, we've been as high. We were headed towards 2. And there's still a lot of big firms out there that see us heading back towards 2% by the end of this year. Well, you know, that depends on whether the Fed will taper their buying of bonds in the second half of the year. It depends on, the economy, whether it gets too overheated or not. But you got to be a little careful with the high PE stocks, I think, in the second half of the year, and the high PE ETFs. I use as a good bellwether for that really high PE area of the market, the ARK funds by Kathy Wood. She had a tremendous year last year, obviously. She was off to a good start this year, and then the wheels came off the bus as interest rates started to rise, and she got hit for about 30 to 35% in her high-flying funds. Now, she had a good June as interest rates went back down, okay? But where do they go from here? That's the big question. It just seems to me that the course of least resistance is to go higher. But, you know, if the Fed keeps buying and buying and buying the bond market and expanding their balance sheet, which I don't really see, they can artificially keep interest rates low. I think interest rates are going to hold a big key to the second half of 2021. I favor a combination of reflation stocks. And when I talk about reflation stocks or reflation ETFs, we're talking about oil and gas. We're talking about basic materials, commodities. We saw a boom in the first half of the year in copper prices, lumber prices, steel prices, iron ore prices. I still think that's going to be a good place to be in the second half. The industrials obviously should benefit from the $1 trillion going into infrastructure. A lot of the engineering and building, heavy building types of firms should do well in the second half of the year. But I think I'd be a little bit careful with that high PE sector of the market. Well, don't forget, we have the S&P's trading at 30 times earnings right now. The forward PE right now on the S&P 500 is 23. What's the long-term average? 16 to 17. Keep that in mind, okay? That's why I like being an unconstrained investor. If I see the market getting too expensive and the economy starting to slow and earnings starting to point downwards, I can take evasive action very, very quickly. And do my best. I can put in some inverse ETFs on the S&P 500 like SH or the inverse Dow, which is DOG, D-O-G. I can raise cash. I'm unconstrained. For now, I remain pretty bullish on the second half of the year. You've still got an accommodative Fed. The earnings picture looks good with the caveat. If there's a big tax hike in corporate taxes next year, which that's the plan, that's going to take a bite out of earnings, and it's going to take a bite out of the S&P 500. So I actually have two macro outlook scenarios for the next couple of years. One, without a tax hike, which seems to me to be fairly unlikely, and one with a corporate tax hike or that minimum tax coming into play, which would be 15% on companies like Amazon and whatnot, that through various, you know, depreciation measures, etc., haven't paid a lot of taxes. They incurred a lot of losses in the early years of the business, you know, investing and getting it to the profitable business that it is today. But having said that, you know, the macro outlook, there's a couple of scenarios, and I write about that every week in my newsletter. There's scenario A, there's scenario B, and they're quite a bit different from each other. You might want to have a look at that. I'm almost done with this week's newsletter. You can check it out. We also made some new buys this week. I made three new buys yesterday in one of the portfolios. You go to GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com, to get two free weeks of my weekly newsletter. It goes out to thousands of people every week. You could be one of them. We'll be right back.
You got to go where you want to go.
And welcome back to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. And as the song says, you got to go where you want to go, do whoever. Well, you know what? That's your choice as an individual investor. You can manage your own money. You can have one of the big wirehouse firms manage it. You can have, your friend manage it, your cousin. That's usually not a good idea. Or you can search around. Well, you know what? You can look at the results that we've achieved, the financial planning that we can do, the different products that we offer at Southport Capital. I manage six different stock funds, ranging from an emerging growth fund down to up to a dividend fund and a everything in between. You know, we do kind of a risk analysis, and we try to figure out. I've sat across the table from thousands of people during my career. Some people very, 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 very nervous about the market at all. Well, they're not a candidate for, you know, a stock portfolio. I normally own about 25 stocks in a fully invested portfolio. I try to stay pretty focused on what I think are the best ones now, whether it be large cap growth or small cap growth or whatever the case may be. And, you know, that's part of my advisor's duty and process as fiduciaries to determine where you land on that risk scale. Your age has a lot to do with it, how many years you have left to work, or maybe you're retired now, or what your life expectancy is at this point in time. All those different factors come into play. And, of course, we have all the tools to analyze those kinds of very, 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 very important factors. And Southport Capital has offices across America, a lot of different places. But we do a lot of virtual business, too, especially during the pandemic. I've always been a virtual company, doing everything either through Zoom or over the telephone. Of course, I'm on the radio every day. My clients can hear me. People that are interested in having me manage money for them can hear me. I write the newsletter every single week, which keeps us in contact with you, and I have an entire staff that backs me up and allows me to manage the money, do the radio show, do the research, do the newsletter, keep the app going. I love what I do. I've been doing it for a long time, and I continue and I plan on doing it for as long as possible. I love what I do. I'm kind of like Warren Buffett. You know, he's 90. He's still working. I'm not 90. I'm 64, but love what I do. And I love managing these portfolios and doing my research and whatnot and getting around the country from time to time doing workshops and doing this show every single day. And as I said, this show is podcasted, put up to the podcast sites and archived every day. You can go to GundersonCapital.com to listen to the show live at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time every morning as you get ready to look at the markets or trade the markets or whatever you do. You can also listen at your leisure. I have a lot of people that listen to my podcast every evening or every afternoon while they're doing their walk or whatever. And those podcasts are on GundersonCapital.com or at the podcast sites. Well, what will the cryptos do in the second half? I'm not a fan of the cryptos, okay? I saw the cryptos go from the Bitcoin get cut in half here recently. I think the biggest threat to cryptos myself are going to be governments. You know, China is, why do you think China is cracking down on Bitcoin miners? Because China wants their own digital currency. And I really think that at some point in time, I think the U.S. is going to want its own digital currency too. We'll see. But I think there's going to be heavier regulations on these cryptocurrencies, tracking them. Taxes is a big issue. You know, there's a black market out there of money going back and forth through the crypto channels, so it can't be traced. But guess what? It can be traced. We learned that recently with the one of the, I think it was, who was it that was breached and they had to pay? I think it was the pipeline company. They were able to track those people down in the blockchain channels and get some of that money back. So never say never. I think the cryptos are going to have a tough time. And it's also not good that the institutions have backed off from the cryptocurrencies for the most part. You need that institutional participation. Well, and we'll watch the SPAC market has definitely cooled off in the second half of the year. There was way too much speculation going on in the early part of this year. IPOs were coming to market. We'll have some more. Robinhood will be a big one in the second half of this year. Will the electric vehicle craze continue? It's cooled off quite a bit. You know, not only are those stocks expensive, but some of them don't even have any products yet. I think a better way to play the EVs right now are some of the suppliers to the EVs, like the Magnas and the Lear Corps and companies like that that make the kind of the, you know, the picks and shovels for the EV stocks. While the EV stocks fight it out amongst themselves, now you got Ford, GM, BMW, Mercedes. They're all entering into the fray. And then you've got the little wannabes like Lordstown Motors and Fisker, etc. That's a crowded space. But, you know, there's ways to play it. I think it's individual stocks that have been in the auto industry for quite some time, but more of the picks and shovels that supply the seats, for instance, or the chassis, or whatever the case may be. Now, the biotech sector, we saw some breakthroughs in the first half of this year, Biogen being the biggest with their controversial Alzheimer's drug. We'll see whether or not it's effective or not. The jury's out in the trials, but the FDA did approve that. Personally, I like portfolios of individual stocks as opposed to ETFs. I look at ETFs like you're getting all the bad stocks along with the good ones. I would rather narrow it down and cherry pick those ETFs or cherry pick those indexes for what I consider to be the best stocks now in each one. And I think we'll have some of the same themes carry through in the second half, such as the commodity stocks benefiting from inflation, etc. Well, you can see my macro call. My newsletter has my portfolios and all the stocks that we own currently by going to my website at GundersonCapital.com, checking out my newsletter. If you don't look at anything else, look at the macro outlook for the market over the next 1 to 2 years and stay on top of that every week, GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities.
Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.